28. Icarus. Jimmy had barely time to radio, "The wing's buckling! I'm going to crash!" when Dragonfly started to fold up gracefully around him. The left wing snapped cleanly in the middle, and the outer section drifted away like a gently falling leaf. The right wing put up a more complicated performance. It twisted around at the root, and angled back so sharply that its tip became entangled in the tail. Jimmy felt that he was sitting in a broken kite, slowly falling down the sky. Yet he was not quite helpless. The air screw still worked, and while he had power, there was still some measure of control. He had perhaps 5 minutes in which to use it. Was there any hope of reaching the sea? No, it was much too far away. Then he remembered that he was thinking in terrestrial terms. Though he was a good swimmer, it would be hours before he could possibly be rescued, and in that time the poisonous waters would undoubtedly have killed him. His only hope was to come down on land. The problem of the sheer southern cliff he would think about later, if there was any later. He was falling very slowly, here in this tenth of a gravity zone, but would soon start to accelerate as he got farther away from the axis. However, air drag would complicate the situation and would prevent him from building up too swift a rate of descent. Dragonfly, even without power, would act as a crude parachute. The few kilograms of thrust he could still provide might make all the difference between life and death. That was his only hope. Hub had stopped talking. His friends could see exactly what was happening to him and knew that there was no way their words could help. Jimmy was now doing the most skillful flying of his life. It was too bad, he thought with grim humor, that his audience was so small and could not appreciate the finer details of his performance. He was going down in a wide spiral, and as long as its pitch remained fairly flat, his chances of survival were good. His pedaling was helping to keep Dragonfly airborne, though he was afraid to exert maximum power in case the broken wings came completely adrift. And every time he swung southward, he could appreciate the fantastic display that Rama had kindly arranged for his benefit. The streamers of lightning still played from the tip of Bighorn down to the lesser peaks beneath, but now the whole pattern was rotating. The six-pronged crown of fire was turning against the spin of Rama, making one revolution every few seconds. Jimmy felt that he was watching a giant electric motor in operation, and perhaps that was not hopelessly far from the truth. He was halfway down to the plane, orbiting in a flat spiral, when the fireworks display suddenly ceased. He could feel the tension drain from the sky, and knew, without looking, that the hairs on his arms were no longer straining upright. There was nothing to distract or hinder him now, during the last few minutes of his fight for life. Now that he could be certain of the general area in which he must land, he started to study it intently. Much of this region was a checkerboard of totally conflicting environments, as if a mad landscape gardener had been given a free hand and told to exercise his imagination to the utmost. The squares of the checkerboard were almost a kilometer on a side, and though most of them were flat, he could not be sure if they were solid, because their colors and textures varied so greatly. He decided to wait until the last possible minute before making a decision, if, indeed, he had any choice. When there were a few hundred meters to go, he made a last call to the hub. "I've still got some control. We'll be down in half a minute. We'll call you then." That was optimistic. and everyone knew it. But he refused to say goodbye. He wanted his comrades to know that he had gone down fighting, and without fear. Actually, he felt little fear, and this surprised him, for he had never thought of himself as a particularly brave man. It was almost as if he were watching the struggles of a complete stranger, and was not himself personally involved. Rather, he was studying an interesting problem in aerodynamics, and changing various parameters to see what would happen. Almost the only emotion he felt was a certain remote regret for lost opportunities, of which the most important was the forthcoming Lunar Olympics. One future, at least, was decided. Dragonfly would never show her paces on the moon. 100 meters to go. His ground speed seemed acceptable, but how fast was he falling? And here was one piece of luck. The terrain was completely flat. He would put forth all his strength in a final burst of power, starting now. The right wing, having done its duty, finally tore off at the roots. Dragonfly started to roll over, and he tried to correct by throwing the weight of his body against the spin. He was looking directly at the curving arch of landscape 16 kilometers away when he hit. It seemed altogether unfair and unreasonable that the sky should be so hard.